This is the HopeCast Network. Stories and shows you actually want to listen to.
What's up, work advisors? Yeah, I'm bringing it today. I'm your host with the most. My name is Brad, and you're listening to your new favorite podcast, Work Advice for Me. Okay, today we are having a very cool guest today. We have someone that I know you're going to enjoy because I could not wait to chat with this man, Cody Bodacious Belial. Yeah, he is a boss. He is a power slapper, professional power slapper. If you've never seen this, scroll on your Instagram reels. You will see the power slaps. Let me tell you, they are amazing. They are so much fun to watch. My family and I watch power slaps. We'll just sit and watch them. My wife doesn't care for them very much, but I like them. And this chat with Cody was amazing. He is definitely a friend of the show. And this guy you're seeing behind me in the background, if you're listening on iTunes or Spotify, you can't see it, but it's a picture of me in my senior year. He would be slapped and probably not wake up. This guy would still probably be slapped, and I still wouldn't wake up. Cody is amazing. You're going to learn a lot from Cody about power slapping and gambling. He is a professional gambler. And I guess you gamble every time you get slapped. I don't know. I don't know about the slapping. I probably couldn't do this sport. But HopeCast is our network you're listening to right now. And we love HopeCast. We want to create shows that you can listen to with your family and you can enjoy. And that's what we value here at HopeCast. We've got a lot of great shows from Movie Torture. If you like a bunch of guys and ladies talking about bad movies, then that's right up your alley. If you like reality shows, Reality Check with Heidi and Brett. Heidi's from Survivor. Please listen. You can follow us on iTunes there. If you like running, The Everyday Runner with Erin Mayer, you will love that show because she is a professional runner. She's great. She's a friend of mine now. I met her through the podcasting world, which is really cool. If you like funny news, mostly from Florida, Breaking News with Brad and B is right up your alley. You will love that show. And we have other shows planned to drop on the network. We're in talks right now to bring in some more talent to this network. We are proud of what we do here, and we want you to continue to like and subscribe to all the shows. If you want to reach out to me, you can find this show on Work Advice for Me on Instagram, and you can leave us a review on the iTunes and the old Spotify. Tell us how much you want to slap the host, Brad. But now, we have a question. We always like to read a question. This is from Monique. Yeah. Hey, Monique. From Phoenix, Arizona. I like Phoenix. I've been there before. It's nice. Went out there last year, actually, with my beautiful, beautiful bride. She says, Brad, I love your show, and I love your network. Well, thank you, Monique. I'm glad that you like the network that we all are a part of. She says, Brad, how do you know B? Y'all seem to be genuine friends. Monique, I'm glad you asked that question, because B and I go back 13 years, maybe 14 years. We've been friends for a long time, but I met B through her husband. I work with her husband. So me and her husband are really tight. He's one of the best friends I have. I love her husband, and through that, my family and her family have all become fast friends. And we love chatting, and B is a natural on here, and you need to let her know that, guys. Just comment and just say, great job, B. Breaking News of Brad and B is all about B. She's great. Now, she does. I'm just going to throw this out here. She does have an entourage. She has, you know, demands. When she comes on, she likes her Skittles, just the red ones. She doesn't like, and I can't actually look her directly in the eye or in person. She takes Diva to the next level, but that's okay. She likes, I have to call her the best talent we have at HopeCast. That's just the rules. But to get her here, I'm willing to do that. And she has the biggest contract of all of us. She makes the most money. B is, you know, she's a power player. I'm just kidding. Hey, all that stuff I said about B is definitely not true. She's very humble. She doesn't even like Skittles, I don't think. And she makes $0. But she loves being on here and entertaining the fans because she is great. And, you know, B, you're a great friend of mine and your husband, a great friend of mine, and my family loves your family. Just throw that out there. That's become a love fest on here. Hey, word of advice for me. Remember, like and subscribe. I'm about to enter the ring and get slapped by professional power slapper Cody Bodacious Belial. Did you like that little Michael Buffer? Okay, Cody, I have been really excited about chatting with you because I love what you do. Now, if people are listening to this for the first time, they don't know what you do. We're going to get there. But there's more to you than just what you do now.
Of course.
And for one, I love Cody Bodacious. It's Bodacious, right?
Absolutely, yep.
I love that. Man, I got to get me a cool nickname when I walk into places. Like, I could do Brad Bodacious, but I think my wife would say I'm trying to overcompensate. So I can't do that.
But yeah, I grew up. It was he was the baddest bull that ever lived. I mean, mm-hmm. People struggled to ride him. He was just feared. So it seemed fitting for this sport.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, Cody. So first, thank you for coming on and spending some time with us. I'm very appreciative. I want you to take me back to little Cody. Like, what was it like for you? Because I know you're a wrestler, but take me back to what it was like growing up for you.
Yeah, so it was my younger brother Austin and I growing up. It was, you know, no other siblings. My parents divorced when I was young, about 4 years old. So him and I, it was just always competing for no matter what it was. I mean, who could throw the football the farthest? Who could climb the highest in the tree? Who, you know, the most wrestling takedowns, go-kart, you name it. It was always a competition. Then you add my dad in the mix. My dad grew up pretty much the same way. Everything is about winning. So we just had this household of just constantly competing who could run the fastest in their socks. Like it was almost looking back. it was crazy. But
so is your dad like Ricky Bobby's dad? If you're second, you're not. What did he say? If you're not first, you're last. That's it, right?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, jokingly, yeah. But in a serious way, it was just getting us into that mindset. And it sounds funny after that movie, you know, looking back, there's so many similarities. But when you become an adult and you get in the work life, it's like, I'm so grateful for that mindset because you look at so many people nowadays where everything has to be just perfect for them to get out of bed or go to the gym or do this. It's like, I get up every single day and I just want to win, no matter what that looks like. So it made me who I am. I'm thankful for it. But as far as childhood, I had a great childhood. Like I said, it was just my brother and I didn't have a whole lot of friends growing up. I had a lot of acquaintances at school. Mm-hmm. You know, when I joined the wrestling team, I wrestled my whole life. Those were my brothers growing up, and we just kind of kept to ourselves. It was wrestling, BMX, and football. That was really about it up until after high school.
And you grew up in Wisconsin, right?
Yeah. Born in Hudson, Wisconsin, on the border of Minnesota and here, and then grew up in Neenah, so right just south of Green Bay.
Okay, so my son and I, he's 10, we took a trip to deliver some stuff to Minneapolis from North Carolina, and we drove through Wisconsin, and we probably drove through, because we crossed over the border into Minnesota, and we ate cheese curds, which are great. Now, I've been to Green Bay. The place across from Lambeau is incredible.
Yeah.
I don't know the name, but I ate there. It was really good. The cheese curds are amazing in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
They're you can't find them anywhere else that good.
So it's funny. I'll tell you a quick little story. So growing up here, I never liked cheese. It's not my favorite. I get that. I get cheese.
Are you lactose or what?
Yeah, to an extent, but I just don't like the taste of it. But so now everywhere I go, like, you're from Wisconsin. You don't like cheese. It's funny little joke.
You got the Dales in Wisconsin, right?
Yeah.
The Dales. Yep. A lot of Wisconsin looks the same when you're driving through it. We're like, oh, we got to get through Wisconsin, but it's still a cool place. Been to Milwaukee, I've been to the cool places, Madison in Wisconsin. So it's not a bad, it's a great place. But when it comes to wrestling, what's it like for you? What was it like for you in high school when you were wrestling? I don't understand the wrestling scoring. Like when people say wrestling, I think of Hulk Hogan. And Rowdy Piper and all those guys. But yep. There's so much to the art of wrestling. Explain a little bit what wrestling's like for listeners, because I'm still confused at how it... Because, I mean, you see little guys pinning bigger guys. They got their spin moves, right? Like,
Yeah, I mean, you can still have that in traditional folk style wrestling, but what it's like, I mean, to put it simply, it was the hardest, most fun thing I've ever done in my life. Because you show up, I remember when I was a kid, you show up and you just get your ass beat. I mean, every single day, you're just getting your face pushed in the mat, arms ripped behind your back. It was brutal. But one thing that you do is you keep showing up. Mm-hmm. So day after day, you know, it's just this grind, and you're going to hurt, and it's going to suck, and you're going to feel shitty about yourself, but if you keep showing up, you build that memory of, okay, if I keep showing up, I get a little bit better. And this compounds day after day, year after year. And sooner or later, okay, these guys that were kicking the hell out of me, now I'm delivering it right back. Mm-hmm. And that does two things. It just shows you, one, no matter what you do, if you keep showing up, you're going to get better in all aspects of life. But two, it builds that confidence in yourself. It's like, boy, I am capable. You know, anything that I put my mind to, as long as I just keep going, it's going to get easier. So that was wrestling. I mean, as far as it's just this dedication, it forced you to be disciplined. You know, every single Thursday, you got your dual matches. Every single Saturday, you got tournaments. So you don't have time to do anything else with your life, man.
I don't think I could have got past the unitard. I feel like I would not have fit in there very well. I was not very muscular as a kid, so I would have probably got laughed at in the unitard.
You'd be surprised. We had some heavyweights, some 285 pounders that, you know, yeah, outside of that, but it sucks everything in, keeps it tight, so there's no, you know, no cheating. And yeah, you do what you gotta do.
How much wrestling did you watch as a kid? You had to watch some, right?
A lot. I was the Attitude Era. I was the Stone Cold, Rock, Rikishi, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, that whole era. That was my I loved it. I saw, actually, my dad and I were going through our old stuff here, and I found my old Stone Cold shirt. I wish I was in my room. I could find it for you. But, man, it was, as a kid, it was Austin 316.
So when I was a kid, I'm going to tell you what I got for Christmas one year, and you're going to really like this. It was before your era, but I looked under the Christmas tree, and there was a Hulkamania workout set. Look this up online. It is probably worth a ton today. So I got this. I'm like, I'm going to be like Hulk, because I had all the dolls and everything. Andre the Giant. And I put the tape into my tape player because it come with a cassette tape. I'm not of Hulk. And I'm gonna do my Hulk. He goes, come on, you little Hulksters. And he was just like, you're a little Hulkster. And I was like, I got this. You know those little exercise things you squeeze together? Yeah. He had those in there. So I'm sitting there with my t-shirt on. I'm going to town with Hulk. I never materialized. I had the little headband that said Hulkster.
Yeah.
It was amazing. I wish kids could experience that today. I really do, because the innocence of wrestling then for a boy is amazing.
Yeah.
It was just so much fun to watch. Junkyard Dog. Remember that guy? Yeah. Oh, the dog, man. Jake the Snake.
Yep. Macho Man.
Okay. You're a wrestler. I want you to correct my wife, because I can't do that.
Okay.
I have a Macho Man t-shirt, okay, that I got at Meijer. And I do like some Meijer.
Uh-huh.
I came down wearing it. I was going to wear it to an event. And she said, go change. And I'm like, what are you talking about? She said, nobody's going to take you seriously with a wrestler on your team. Cody, what should I say to my wife at that point?
You go change, brother.
Oh. I like that.
That's good. The Macho Man. Yeah, nobody's going to take you serious, but I tell you what, you're going to make a lot of friends with that. Everybody knows the Savage, man.
Exactly. We should just do the rest of our chat in our wrestling imitation voices and see how far people would actually listen.
Oh my god, that's funny.
What's your day job?
So I ran a overhead crane company out in Safford at the Morenci mine in Arizona, and I had a team of 12 technicians under me, and I did that for the last almost 2 years. Did really well. It's a blue collar job. Just again, kind of like wrestling, day after day. There's going to be problems, and you just show up and we're fixers. But you know, after my last stint in Las Vegas with the Power Slap reality show, with gambling with Dana, being smart financially, it's afforded me. I recently quit my job, and now I'm just doing whatever I want now. Paid off all my debt, and I'm taking some time for me now. I'm going to take about 6 months to a year off and just go see my family, see my good friends, travel around, and just have some fun.
Now, when you say gambling with Daniel, explain to me and the listeners what you're talking about. Because we hadn't gotten to Power Slap yet, because I want to get there. Okay. I want us to get to Power. But what's the gambling aspect?
So about 3 years ago, I started playing blackjack. And it was watching, I forget who the guy was online, but he was going through strategy and, you know, what to do, where to stand, hit, stay, doubles, split, whatever. And it kind of sucked me into the point where I was like, geez, like this could be a problem. Like this could get dangerous real quick. But I just started winning and compounding. And it was like, all right, this is not normal, right? So when had this opportunity with Power Slap, my whole goal was to do nothing more than to network and meet these people that I follow online playing blackjack. And so with Dana, it's nothing but blackjack. We go back to the private room at the Red Rock Casino, and however much you want to bet, however much you're willing to lose, it's what you play with. It's just fun. To me, it's a social thing. Of course, you know, the financial gain is always a plus too, but it's just, it's a pastime that I really enjoy.
Okay, so I was going to ask, you answered it. Is that the only casino you gamble at, Red Rock?
No, I go all over, but I'll only play by a certain set of rules. You know, it's the double deck. I want it hand dealt, hand shuffled. You know, it gives us, it evens the odds a little bit, if you say.
Okay, so what's your favorite casino in Vegas outside of Red Rock?
Outside of Red Rock?
Yeah.
I love Circa. I think Circa is the shit.
Is it?
Oh yeah, you got the Stadium Swim, you got Barry's Prime, the sports book, with all the TV. It's Circa's a vibe, dude.
Really?
Oh yeah.
What about the Cosmopolitan? Do you like that one?
It's okay. Maybe I haven't spent enough time there, or maybe I know a little bit to really have a good opinion, but comparing it to those other two we mentioned, it's hard to compete.
Okay, my wife and I went to Vegas 2 years ago. We stayed at Resorts World. That's okay. The new one. It wasn't bad. The casino was really nice. It's bright, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
What's your least favorite place to gamble at? Or least favorite casino?
I gotta say Caesars.
I can see that.
I didn't really, it was just too many people, I think. It didn't feel, I like, being from Wisconsin, if I'm gonna go into a bar, I like a small hole in the wall place. And when we go to those other places I mentioned, like Circa or Red Rock, they have these individual like rooms that you can go to where it feels a little bit more, little more intimate. I like that. I don't like being out in the, amongst all the people and the lights and the noise and this. I just like the love of the game, you know?
I get that. Is blackjack the only game you played? You ever do craps? You ever?
I'll do a little roulette.
It's fun.
Yeah, yeah. You can have some fun. That's all social. I'll never go play it by myself like I will with blackjack. But I'll do a slots every once in a while. Just if I have a big one on blackjack, you get a player's card and just to build up your points, you know. But that's about it.
You ever play poker?
Not as much as I have been lately. I'm really trying to learn the game because that's another one I think you can really have some fun and win a bunch of money.
You got to get some good shades for the poker, right? I don't understand. I cannot play poker. At blackjack, I've tried to teach my 10-year-old. We play it. You know, we'll put like cereal as gambling, right? I mean, I know I'm teaching him wrong, but
yeah,
you know, but what's a... If this is too personal of a question, just tell me. Like, what's a good win for you? Like, you walk out of there, like, what's been your, like, holy crap, I just won a boatload of cash, and I'm gonna be excited today. I'm gonna go live like Papa Giorgio in Vegas, Vegas vacation.
So, I mean, it's relative to what you walk in with, right? My biggest win to date, I walked into the Red Rock with $800 and walked out with just over $22,000.
Holy crap. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. How many hands? You must have played a bunch of hands to keep rolling that, right?
That was over a course of about 3 to 4 hours. So when you break it down, I mean, making $5,000-$6,000 an hour, that's not bad compared to a 9 to 5.
When you're playing blackjack, you really got to just go, you know what? I'm betting that I have a better hand than everyone at this table or the dealer, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a big part of it. What you just said is everybody at the table. So I don't like to play with anybody that just goes off emotions or feelings. To me, it's we're there to win, you know. we're seeing this a lot. We want to win. So basic blackjack strategy, sometimes depending on the deck, you'll do some things that are, for say, not basic strategy, but I don't like to play with randoms. It's too risky.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to sit beside me and play because I would be a random. You'd be like, this guy he doesn't know what he's doing. It's like, I'm like, you got to tap it twice, right? That's the code for you want another card dealt, right?
Yeah.
Then you go like this. That means you're
staying.
You're good. This is what I'm rolling with.
Yep.
I love this. I did not know you were a professional gambler. That makes you even more fascinating to me.
That's a stretch. Professional. I would say degenerate. I mean, wannabe professional. We'll go that.
Who is like the number one blackjack player that you would be like, that's who I want to emulate?
Oh, it's Dana White, hands down.
Dana White, he is the number one blackjack?
I would say in the world, it's not even a conversation. Dana White, the way he plays, so Dana White plays $30,000 a hand.
Well, he's got a lot of money.
He's got some ammo for his battle. But the way he plays and the way, like, he's so strategic and it's cold. There's no emotions. It's just, this is what we do. This dealer has this. I got this. This is what we do. It's just, it takes all the thinking out of it. So it's fun.
And you go gamble with Dana. So you and him are sitting there. You've watched him like work. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. So it kind of started after my first debut and just showed up at the Red Rock and, you know, was fortunate enough after that performance to get some attention, meet some cool people. And I asked him, hey, can I play with you? I said, sure, come on in. So, you know, I'm betting $200-$300 a hand. And I said, I'm betting 30 racks. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like, what is my life, dude? Like, I'm just a small town guy from Wisconsin here in Las Vegas with Dana White. This guy I've been following since I've been 8 or 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Here I am playing blackjack. It's just, and then you meet some cool people. They're just, you know, associated and, I've met so many cool people through this, and I feel fortunate. I feel blessed, and Vegas is hands down my favorite place in the world right now.
It is a cool place. The pools, the resorts, it's all really nice. The food is amazing there. My wife and I like to go eat. Okay, so let's talk about power slapping, because I have so many questions about power slapping. That one, what was it like when you told your family you're getting into power slapping? Because I got to be honest, if my son came to me and said, "Dad, I'm going to be in power slapping," I'd be like, "Oh my, what is?" There's people still don't know what it is, but you just scroll Instagram Reels and you will see a slap. It's coming. So, what was that like when you pitched it? And are you married? Do you have a girlfriend? What's going on? Why?
I'm single now. I was married from 19 to almost 10 years until 28, and split up. And now I've been on my own for the last 2-3 years.
Okay.
As far as pitching it, so when I first signed up for it or applied, I didn't tell anybody. I didn't want anybody to talk me out of it or try and change my mind. It's just, this is what I want to do. I saw this vision. I could go there, compete. If I have a big win, what doors would this open up? Who could I meet? What could come out of this? Can I build a brand, you know? And thankfully that happened my first round. And, but I didn't tell my mom or my dad I was doing it until probably a week before I was going to fly out to Vegas. And of course, exactly what you'd expect. Mom starts crying. She's scared, doesn't want me to die. I'm like, listen, Mom, like, if anything, all the shit that I did growing up and you smacked me, you prepared me for this. I'm good. Dad, actually, I was surprised. Dad didn't like it. I think just basically he didn't understand it because there's no defense. You know, with wrestling or martial arts, jiu-jitsu, there's a defense aspect to it. With this, it's a traditional good old tough man bar fight, if you will. It's, I'm going to stand there, hopefully I can eat your shot and deliver one bigger than what you gave me, and they're the winner. So
you do have a big reach. That you do have a long reach wing, like you can reach across. And you know jiu-jitsu, right?
Yeah, I've been training for a little bit.
Okay, so is UFC something you want, or is this what you want, like gambling and slapping?
So I would love to test myself at with a UFC caliber opponent. To say, I'm going to be 31 tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Happy early birthday then.
Thank you, man. So to say that I'm going to dedicate myself to that kind of training and that level of intensity at 31 years old, I don't think it's feasible. I mean, could it happen? Absolutely. I mean, look at Daniel Cormier. He started, I think, older than me, and he became a UFC champion. However, I think with Power Slap, the amount of exposure it gets, the amount of money that's available, as fast as it's growing, I don't really see a reason to change. I mean, there's a lot of critics of it, and I understand, because a lot of people compare it to UFC and they compare it to fighting. And the truth of the matter is it's not even the same category. It's combat sports, but you got to stop comparing it to anything else. It's unlike anything other than what it is. So take it face value, appreciate it for what it is. I think if anything, at the very least, if you don't understand the sport or don't like it, support the men that are going there, because more than likely they're in the same boat as you, struggling financially. Just blue collar guys wanting to make a name for themselves, do better for their family, and compete on one of the fastest growing stages there is. So support the men with that mindset of just wanting to do more for themselves.
And it's not really a fight. It's not like you said, it's not like a fisticuffs. You're going to be out there fighting. It's almost like a really cool bar game.
Exactly.
I hate to interrupt what you're doing now, but something very important I need to let you know about. When you purchase Generous Coffee Beans, we want you to try to enjoy each brew for two reasons. Number one, because you're a part of something bigger, making a positive impact around the world. And number two, because we did not compromise on the quality of coffee. You're drinking some of the best coffee in the world. 100% of profits are donated to nonprofits that are fighting injustice facing humans around the world. Wow, that's powerful. Generous is best known for its specialty coffee, but the heartbeat of Generous is their hope to use for profit business for good. In 2024, Generous is hoping to provide coffee to churches around the U.S. to spread a message within congregations that churches care about people, even down to the coffee they are serving and the people they enjoy. I apologize for that extremely long run-on sentence. If you have interest in hearing more about Generous Coffee, please reach out to their founder, Ben Higgins, at benhiggins@generousmovement.com. Thank you, and back to our scheduled podcast.
You know, it's a tough man match, dude.
It's like hand wrestling. It's like arm wrestling with your face.
Yeah,
basically, right? You're gonna see who can. Okay, so one, I want to know, how do you practice the art of the slap? Like if I say Cody Bodacious, I'm gonna start joining the power slap.
Yeah,
would it be good for me to practice slapping or getting slapped? And would it be good for me to learn to take slaps from my wife? So if I said, hey, I'm going to stand here and you're just going to slap the crap out of me every day, is that going to help me train? Or is she just getting her jollies off by slapping me every day?
Yeah, don't ever let your wife slap you, because she's going to give it to you probably a lot harder than what these other guys will. I get asked that a lot. So my first thing, you want to take as little head trauma as possible in any aspect of life, especially in the short term. I would say if I could coach anybody, I would say one, get yourself a coach who is in the game, who has a proven concept, who has credibility, right, of knocking out, taking slaps. Emulate what they do, emulate their technique. As far as, I think an underrated factor that I just learned in my last matches is the measure. If you don't get a clean hit, whether that palm's right on the jawline, you're just going to hit with your fingers and he's going to eat the shot. So first of all, get a good measure. Second of all, get your ass in the gym and put on some muscle, get some weight behind your blow. Because you can't really practice getting hit. That's not going to help you, but you can do everything you can to take the best offensive position. So that would be my recommendation.
Where do you find a coach? Like, do you go on like Craigslist and like, where are you finding a slap coach? Like, is there a slap network that is underground?
I wouldn't say underground. I think it's the basic networking. When you see these other power slap strikers, I was fortunate enough at Power Slap 4, my debut, I linked up with this guy named Dwayne Crespo. He's a heavyweight contender, and this guy, he's got a wild windup. I mean, fast, he's precise, but the things that he did with me was just slow down, get your breathing, stay composed, and don't try to knock the guy's head off. Just land a precision is better than power, right? So if you hit that sweet spot with 60%, it's going to be a lot more effective than just getting the fingers on the face at 100%. So there's these little things you can dial in your style to kind of make it a little bit more effective. If you're looking for a coach, I would say just go on social media and comment on these guys' pages, photos, send DMs. They're everyday Joes just like me and you, and they're more than happy. I mean, with this amount of attention that the sport's getting, we're happy to kind of share our background and our stories and what we do.
It's kind of like a golf hitting golf balls, right? Like it's not always about the power, but it's hitting it in the right spot to make it go where you want it to go. Your
great
hand
analogy
is the club, and you're just coming through.
Yes. Great analogy. I'm
okay.
Use that.
Yeah. You feel free to steal that one. Have you ever crapped yourself getting hit? Cause I feel like I would crap myself getting hit. Like, I feel like I would definitely have to change my drawers, but that's just me. I had to ask that. Like, you know, is it,
Thank God, no. I mean, you hear some guys, I mean, look at the UFC, or MMA in general, how many guys get knocked out, they lose bodily functions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, yeah, it's embarrassing, but I think even beyond that, what is that doing inside your body? To basically, it's hitting the light switch where your body's saying, all right, I can't control itself anymore. To me, that's more scary than anything. But no, I luckily I've never done
that. Are concussions a thing in the? I figured they have to be, right? Because there's such a. Does Dana White owns PowerSlap? That's right, right? Does he have like a protocol? Like you get, like I want to get to your fight that I watched in a minute, and we're gonna. I'm gonna bring this back, but is there like a protocol? Like Cody Bodacious he's in concussion protocol. He can't get slapped.
Yeah, so I mean, we're all sanctioned by the Nevada State Athletic Commission. So there we have, I think outside of, we have protocols with them and things that we have to do. And as far as leading up to the fight, you have to get your CAT scans, your MRIs, your blood tests, your urine tests, make sure you're drug free, eyes dilated. There's a whole list. You feel like a lab rat. When you go through all these tests, it's pretty in depth. But that's just a baseline to make sure you're good to step on the stage. Now, after that, if you do give a blow, we go immediately after. Before you even go get your money, before you do interviews, you go see some of the best doctors in the world. And they fly these guys in. They partner with the UFC, with PowerSlap. And it's a whole thing to make sure you're good to even go back to your hotel.
Wow.
So, yeah, I'll just say, as a blanket statement, they take really good care of us.
That's really cool. I didn't know all that happened. Now, I want to ask you this. If I stood on the stage with you, do you think you could kill me with your slap? Because I've been wondering
that's
this.
Tough to answer. Do I think I could? I think anything can happen. Now, given, I think, with a proper slap, like if it's a perfect technique, on the cheek, your palm right on the jawline, do I think it's possible? Yes. Is it probable? No. Now, if you get somebody where they do a club far back, like you'll see in my last fight, I took one pretty much right in front of the ear underneath the temple.
Mm-hmm.
Tell you what, dude, that rocks you pretty good. That would be more probable than a normal slap. Anything around the temple area, I mean, that's a sweet spot. It's a light switch.
The anticipation, I feel like that would be just almost as brutal as the slap. Because the way they're like, you know, like that's one. You know it's coming, right? You're watching. Yep. And then it's like, two. It's even the anticipation for me watching is like it brings the nerves up because I'm like, we're about to see somebody get their bell rung. It's gonna happen. What are you thinking about when that hands when they're are you trying to go somewhere else in your brain? Because
that's already done. So leading up to it, you have about 30 minutes to an hour of warm up before you even go on stage.
Mm-hmm.
That's your time to get your mind right. You get right with God and you accept your fate that you're going to go on stage. If something, the worst thing that could happen, you could die.
Yeah.
I think when you come to terms with that and accept that that's a possibility, if that's the worst thing that can happen and I'm cool with it, then hey, what? I mean, there's nothing else to really be afraid of. And then when you get on stage, you've prepared your mind where it's like, listen, this is what we're doing. You see his windups. If he's going right on three, I'm staring right at his belly button with my peripherals. I'm looking at his hand, counting. Right after two, you take a deep breath, clench that jaw. You try to loosen up your neck as a little bit as you can. And it's just, I'm not going to flinch because I don't want another one. So
I was going to get to that next, by the way, the flinching.
You just, this is what we're doing and I'm going to eat it and hopefully we can take it and I'm going to be right back in your face and I'm going to give you one back.
How many broken jaws happen in this sport? There has to be a good bit, right?
I haven't heard of any. If there is, I haven't heard of any. You got a really thick mouthpiece where it's formed to your teeth and everything, and you clench down. If you're taking the defensive position right, you should be okay.
Oh my gosh. But okay.
If you kept your jaw loose, yeah, you could unwind some screws pretty quick.
Oh my gosh. Okay, the flinching. I would definitely flinch. I'd be like, that would count as a flinch, right? If I went like this, does that count as a flinch?
Yeah, so what a lot of guys do is with the flinch, if it's any movement before you come in contact, where their hand comes in contact with your face, that's considered a flinch. That could affect the outcome of their slap. Now, there's ways to overcome that. Some guys close their eyes for all three so they don't see it. It's unanticipated. You don't anticipate the blow. I think that's a little risky. The shots that you don't see or don't expect are the ones that are going to ring your bell and can shut your lights out. I think just as if they're going on three, just after two, when they're winding up, when you see their hand coming towards your face, close your eyes and take a deep breath. And that's to me, I want as much oxygen in my brain as I can. Just everything's high alert. There's different ways to overcome it. The guys that flinch they're in their own head. They haven't done that preparation beforehand. Mm. And it's not good because you're gonna either one take another one or two, they're gonna take a point, and now you're down in the match.
Would you rather take another one or lose a point?
Take another one, 100%. Because if you
points
lose
are valuable.
Absolutely, especially in this. If it's a 5-round fight, maybe I would take the point. A title fight. If it's 3 rounds, I'd rather take another one. Because if you lose a point, boy, that you gotta have some. You might as well. You have to KO them to win the fight, essentially.
Okay, I want to talk about I think they said it was your first fight. I watched it on YouTube. You can watch it on YouTube.
Yep.
It was. I felt like the slap he gave you, I could have given you that slap. And even the announcer was like, I think that's the worst slap I've ever seen in my life.
That was Michael Bisping.
Wait, are we talking about the same? Okay, hold on. Are we talking about the same guy?
Yep, I was wearing the black shirt. He was wearing the blue. So Michael Bisping is one of the announcers. That's what he said.
Oh, you're talking about the announcer. I was talking about the guy you're fighting. What's the guy? It's hard to pronounce his name.
Vinny Subramanian.
Yes, he goes, that's the worst slap I've ever seen in my life.
Yep. But Michael Bisping said that about Vinny. And tell you what, I think because Vinny didn't have a whole lot of history or experience with the striking, and you know, there's so many things that go into it too. You gotta practice because stepping is a thing too. So as you're throwing, you want to throw heavy power, but if you move either of your feet a little bit, they're gonna call you for stepping. Now you got a point. And then, God forbid, you knock the guy out with it and he doesn't get up. Now he wins. It's automatic DQ. So there's a lot of things that go into it that maybe the average eye doesn't see or isn't conscious of, but to get a good proper blow with perfect form, there's a lot of little factors that go into it.
His looked like it had no effect on you at all because you were like, and you just stood there. And then I was like, I was watching and I said, Cody's about to lay a haymaker on this dude, man. Like, it took one slap and this poor guy and the announcer was like, I just love when they hit their head on the tables. And I'm like, oh my gosh. boom, boom.
It didn't even feel real. I tell you what, so rewatching that afterwards, from the time that I hit him, he went down and I did the good night, bye bye.
You waved? You waved?
Yeah.
Did I miss that? Oh my gosh.
So that felt in real time, just going off memory, that felt like an hour. So between like coming to terms with, okay, this guy's down. Okay, this guy's not getting up. Oh my God, I just won my debut by knockout after eating one. To the time that I went like this, that felt like forever. Looking back, it was like a second. It was pretty wild to go relive it. But go ahead.
So when you won, that's the night you went and gambled with Dana White, right?
That was the first time, yeah.
So when you're watching him lay there, Do you go check on him? Is that protocol? Are you like, hey man, I'm sorry. No. Like I'm glad I knocked you out, but I hope you're okay. Anything like that?
No, not at that moment. Now afterwards, I guess we'll keep the timeline right. In that moment, you knock him out. We have the referee, right? For that one was Carrie Hadley, I think his name is.
Mm-hmm. He was an older man, right?
Yep. Okay. He's really good though. Called it right away. Sometimes we have Mark Smith. He's a UFC referee. Very good at what he does. Actually, this last night, Jason Herzog, who's honestly one of my favorite referees for UFC. We have top notch referees, and they make sure they're good. Nothing, you can't have any contact with them. Some guys will showboat and get in their face after you knock them out. To me, like, that's why I don't see the point. If you've done what needs to be done, now it's let him gain his composure and come back and get a sense of reality, you know.
I'm trying to look up somebody. I'm not trying to be rude. I want to ask you about this guy. As you're on stage, mm-hmm. it's got to be such a rush when you knock someone out. Like, I've never knocked anyone out. But for you, it's got to be such a rush to lay that.
I think, yeah, in the basic sense, if we're just going on the street, you don't have a bully mindset. Yeah, I just want to go hurt people. But when you see what's on the line, what feels good is the possibility what it is to go in this sport.
Mm-hmm.
That's what feels good. It's an advancement mindset.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, you get down to a raw primal feeling of being a man. If you go to battle with anything and you put it on the line where, hey, there's an equal opportunity where he can put me out, especially if you have to eat the slap first, and you can eat it and come back and do what we did. It invigorates this sense of just like pride in you and your ego, mm-hmm. and you're just it's a rush. It's the, I don't know. It's a drug.
I'm glad you brought that up. On the coin toss, would you rather be slapped first or do the slapping first?
Oh, you want to slap first, 100%.
You do. So it sucks when you lose the coin toss.
It's not fun. I mean, you know, boy, I'm going to have to eat one. And then, especially after this last one, you know, God forbid you take a club and it rocks your bell a little bit. If you can't, you only get a minute to gain your composure. Now, mm-hmm. if you get rocked pretty good, sometimes it's hard. It's hard to gain your composure where you're feeling brand new as if you won the coin toss. Now you got to go your bell's rung a little bit. Now you got to go do all those things I mentioned. Make sure your feet are flat. Make sure you find that sweet spot. There's a lot of moving parts to it.
So basically, I would describe your slap in your first debut. He basically threw an interception and turned over his ability to take the advantage. He gave you back the advantage, and you're like, I'm going to take this. Because nobody likes their NFL team to win the coin toss, defer second half, get the ball, and immediately throw a pick. You're just like, well, I just wasted that. That's gone.
Yep.
And that's what he did. He did that. I was going to ask you, this guy's kind of a bully, and he's very much a showboat, but he might be your friend, so I'm sorry if I say that.
Go ahead.
Austin Turpin.
Yeah.
He kind of is a bully, right?
Or does he play one? One-on-one personally. Mm-hmm. He's a great guy. I think he's, again, another blue-collar guy. Had an opportunity with Power Slap. Does this full-time now. I think mm-hmm. he's a great entertainer. I think he does. He is very – if you talk to him one-on-one, much like you hear people talking about Conor McGregor, if you talk to him one-on-one, completely different guy, respectful, humble, probably give you the shirt off his back, right? Mm-hmm. But now there's another aspect to this game of – entertainment, getting eyes to watch, and I think that's where he succeeds very well. He can put asses in the chair. He can get people to watch. He's entertaining. His post-fight celebratory, whatever the hell you want to call that, is hilarious. being in my weight division, I would love to have the opportunity one day to share the stage with him. I think it'd be a fun moment to look back on for everybody, but I'm a fan. I should say I'm a fan of him.
Oh, I'm a fan. He's very much an entertainer. Who's the guy he lost to that's like the number one guy? He's like the...
Is Wolverine. Yeah,
well, Wolverine, yes.
Same guy. Ron is very... Ron is that typical, what you hear, the quiet guy in the bar.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the guy that runs his mouth and thinks he's top shit. You have to worry about is the quiet guy sitting in the corner drinking his beer. That's mm-hmm. Wolverine.
Really?
This guy, oh, he's a great guy. He was my coach for my first match. Got to know him a little bit, and he's just quiet, calm, cool demeanor. Got a family, you know, works hard, but just comes here, and he's just an absolute force. Power slap.
Yeah, because by the looks, when my wife and I were watching, I would assume Austin would beat him. He looks the part.
Yeah.
But no, that didn't happen. I guess looks are deceiving. It really is.
What makes the sport fun?
Yeah. First, where is the stage at? Where do you fight at in Vegas?
So the last couple now we've been at the UFC Apex.
Okay.
So at the headquarters there. And this next one for Power Slap 6, which is here in a few weeks now, is going to be at the Durango Resort. It's the new hotel in Vegas by Station Casinos. And the first Power Slap event that's open to the public. So now anybody can buy tickets, can you know, watch from the crowd and go see what it's all about.
Wait, I'm confused. So the match I watched with Wolverine, and that wasn't open to the public?
No, it was all up until this Power Slap 6, it was invite only.
Oh, so wow. Because yeah. I was going to ask about what's the attendance like at a Power Slap event? Because I would love to go see a Power Slap event. I'd love to see you.
It is so fun.
Yeah.
It is so fun. I mean, the people that they're real strategic and they're very, the UFC in general, especially Dana White and his team are so smart with building brands and they did it right. Up until here, it was influencers, people with, you know, high following, you know, that could gain more exposure and respect to this sport. And you know, you'd see people in the crowd. Right? Mark Wahlberg was that one. Dan Bilzerian, the Nelk Boys, of course. I met some awesome people, the SideQuest Boys with Hootie and Kale, mm-hmm. and just awesome people. These guys are shedding so much light and exposing this sport to people that might not have ever even known it was a thing. And now you hear the numbers. It's the fastest growing sport, the fastest growing stage. The numbers don't lie. It has more views on the internet than UFC, NFL, NHL, soccer, all combined.
Wow.
In 6 months, it was worth over $800 million. I mean, that's insane. That is insane. So, I don't know.
So, what's a ticket go for? What's the tickets going to go for to Power Slap 6?
There's three different tiers. I think the one that I got, I think it was $500. And then it goes all up to 1,000. I think with the top tier, you get a meet and greet or a photo op with Charles Barkley. Wow. You get some different gifts and everything. For me, being a part of the organization, I don't really care about all that. That'd be great for a fan. I mean, an opportunity to go meet Charles Barkley,
mm-hmm.
get photo ops with Dana with the Power Slap belts. I mean, that is a VIP top ticket experience. I mean, if I wasn't part of the promotion, I would 100% do that. For me, I just want to go there and support my boys and have some fun.
Wait, you don't get to get in for free?
No.
Oh my gosh.
No, that's okay. It's like anything. If I have a small, you know, small business,
mm-hmm.
or my friend has a small business, I don't want free shit. I'm gonna support him. I'm paying retail all the way. I'm gonna support what I'm being a part of.
So when do you slap next?
We'll see. I don't have a date yet, but we'll 100%. I can tell you this. We'll be back.
Yeah, I want to see you slap again. Okay. I don't want to see that hand not used.
I'm making some adjustments now. I've never been in the gym more. My mindset after this last one, it really humbled me to everything leading up to the match.
Mm-hmm.
Not letting your emotions get. I tell you what, kind of going off topic. being in the reality house for 2 weeks, emotions can get the best of you. And when you go into a match thinking like you just want to rip this guy's head off and, you know, you have something to prove, no, that you already, to me, you've lost half the match. I think you need to go in calm, cool. And when you, at the normal, like the Power Slap 6, when it's a normal event, you stay in the hotel for up to a week or a few days before, get your mind right, cold plunge, sauna, just lift, just be calm. That's when you're going to be worthy, I'd say.
Where can we watch the reality house?
Rumble, the Rumble app right now. So we're on, I just had my episode 10. You can go back, rewatch all the episodes and meet all the guys that participated. See some brutal knockouts, man. There are some guys there that I saw live that just, holy shit. Brian Ellis, probably the hardest hitting guy I have ever seen.
Really?
Oh my God, dude. I can't even, words don't do it justice. Go watch some of these episodes.
I'm downloading the Rumble app.
It's crazy.
Is the Rumble app solely, like, we can find Reality House on there?
Yeah, look up Road to the Title or just type in Power Slap. It'll all come up and you can go back to episode one and it's really cool. Aside from learning who the guys are, it really gives you different aspects of the sport and what it's about. And, you know, this season is season two. So you got two coaches, Manny and Kale Chris. They really shed some insight from being a veteran standpoint. And you can learn about the sport more and it helps you understand. Just gives you more appreciation for what we do.
Well, I gotta say, Cody, I appreciate you and this time we spent together. You're always welcome to come back and promote anytime you're fighting because I want to watch it because you're now my favorite power slapper of all time.
Yeah, Thank you so much.
You are my favorite power slapper. I'm gonna go let my wife slap me in the face just to train.
I love it. Thank you so much for the opportunity. The next event I am a part of, I'll get you out and I'd love to have you as my guest.
Oh my gosh, Cody, that would be amazing. I would love to. It would be amazing. Thank you. I appreciate that. And you're, like I said, anytime you want to promote anything, you got my number. You text me, you let me know, and we'll bring you on for a quick promotion.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks, Cody. Hey. Okay. My nose is bleeding. My eyes are black, but I think I survived my time in the ring with Cody Bodacious Belial. Now, you know, when you're done listening to me, you're going to go watch a little bit of Power Slap. Please do. Follow Power Slap. It's amazing. More importantly, follow Cody on the IG. You'll be able to see it in the notes where he's at. Follow Work Advice from me on the IG. Send in a question. Thank you, Monique from Phoenix, for your question about B. Really like that. Like and subscribe, leave a review on iTunes or Spotify. We need your reviews. They will make us grow. Thank you, Hubcast, for helping us make Work Advice a reality. Not just a dream, a reality. And we are here and we're going to be here. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you, this poster, this picture behind me, which reminds me of how dorky I was as a kid. I'm probably still dorky. Anyway, this has been a great podcast. And now I'm going to go down and let my beautiful wife slap me with her great, great meals because she cooks really well. I'm going to go eat me some dinner. With that, I'm going to peace out. This is Work Advice from me. This is Work Advice from me. I got it right. My name is Brad. I'll catch you on the flip side.